That's Brian Duncan strolling on the water. Song about Jesus walking in the water, but a great message as well about walking to the other side to be with him in heaven for eternity. And Steve Snyder's favorite song, Strolling on the Water. Thought we'd play it. His brother Scott is in studio, and Carol's on the phone with us, Carol Stewart, and Terry's in here as well. And Scott, our deepest sympathies to you and the family, and heartfelt thoughts and prayers as we lose our friend and brother and colleague, your brother in real life. He was our brother in the Lord, Steve, who went home to be with Jesus Sunday morning. I think it was, what, 12:45 a.m. or so?
Yeah, early.
Yeah, and you were there. You've been making the trip from Indiana, and we just have been praying for healing. He got the ultimate healing. He is with his Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and we'll be with him today. And I'll never forget my wife and I in here the week before Thanksgiving, and we prayed with Steve and said, I'm going to believe that God's going to heal you. He believed too, but Jesus' prayers were answered that Steve would be with him. And boy, we're feeling the loss. I know you are, even in a more profound and deep way with Steve's passing. Carol is on the phone as well from her home today. Carol, do you have any thoughts? I know you've got to go here pretty soon with grandkids at home, but any thoughts, your memories of Steve and thoughts to Scott here today?
Yeah, it's been a little bit of a roller coaster for all of us, Scott, and you know that as well.
Yeah.
But we were on it together. And I'm sorry I can't be there to meet you, but the first question I have, do you have red hair too?
No, that was not one of my blessings.
Well, I'm a redhead. So Steve and I had that in common, and I'm taking care of a little four-month-old redhead right now. And I mean, she's bright red, penny red, little Alice. Mm-hmm. And I just wanted to say that even though Steve was part-time for 41 years with mm-hmm. us, and a lot of people probably don't even know that, 41 years he worked with us part-time, probably every Saturday and a few here and there, maybe not. And I know every year he was down in Indiana for at least a week, if not more than that, visiting you guys. But he was full-time with Jesus as long as I've known him. Yeah. He's been full-time with Jesus. And it's been such a treat. I said to one of our coworkers yesterday, he's one of a kind. He's hard to find. He's so trustworthy. He's faithful. I mean, that is really, mm-hmm. and loyal. I mean, that is really rare these days. And so we treasure that and remember how it impacts all of us to be equally so. And I know he's welcomed by Jesus fully. The one thing I did want to share, and I wrote it down, and I've had it on my desk for 5 years now. I wrote it down on January 9th. 2016. And Steve was talking on the air, and he said, when the what-ifs come, let the whatsoevers keep your mind in Christ Jesus. Mm. And of course, we know that's Philippians 4:8. Whatsoever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there's any virtue and there be any praise, think on these things. And that gives us the peace that passes all understanding. And I just love that, and I've looked at that so often, and it's really ministered to me. He was clever that way, wasn't he, Scott?
Well, yes, I think he got some of that from his grandparents.
Oh, yeah. Well, Carol, thank you for sharing.
Yeah.
Very, very meaningful. I know you got to get to the grandkids, but appreciate that very much.
Okay. For me personally, you know, Scott, you've been a great example of a brother's keeper, mm-hmm. in a sense. You and I have talked quite a bit, and I've said to myself, you're really a product of a family. It hasn't been easy for you to travel 10, 11 hours, day and night, all the miles you do, all the way from Western Is it west, southwest?
Southwestern Indiana. Yeah.
How many miles is it?
It's a 10-hour drive up here.
How many miles is it?
Oh, almost 600.
Yeah, 500 something.
Yeah. Think you did that back and forth, you and your brother, primarily. Mm-hmm. And it's a good example to your family that you really are someone who looks after family, and a good example for me that I want to be a part of the same thing in my life, that I need to think beyond ourselves and about others, and in this case, your own brother, to take the time.
You know, a lot of people have mentioned that, you mm-hmm. know, the fact that we would come up. And my brother and I, our whole family is kind of like, our default setting is, well, you know, this is your family.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So you have a series of priorities, and that's, so when you have to push some things aside, you have to push some things aside. That's just right. The way it is. And I've thought about, I know what people are saying, mm-hmm. because they're saying, well, that's not usual anymore. You know,
right.
because families are separated. Some of it's just because they're physically all over the place.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Some of them is because maybe some family members are disabled themselves, have health care issues, mm-hmm. you know, so they can't do that. And there's a lot of fragmentation. A lot of families are fragmented,
sure.
you know, and that's not the case. And there are families with a lot of animosity,
mm-hmm.
and they won't care for each other no matter what.
Mm.
But for us, it's kind of like maybe you could say honor and love are are opposite sides of the same coin.
Mm.
So it was like an automatic when mm. Steve was having a problem, then, you know, we'd run up and assist.
Mm.
You know, that's just what it was. You know, because it's serious. It's not like, okay, he fell and broke his leg.
Right.
You
right.
know, and we sure. can, yeah, we'll come up visit, but then.
Which he could have done many times in his job.
Yeah, so. Exactly.
Tripped over a stump.
Yeah.
For the forestry department.
So, you know, another tick bite, you know, and stuff like that. But, you know, it was one of those things. So we readjusted everything to be up here. And of course you don't mm-hmm. know in a situation like this how open-ended it is.
Mm-hmm.
It turned out from the time it manifested itself to the time of his passing was exactly 90 days.
Wow. Mm.
Now that doesn't mean that things weren't perking along in your body before that,
sure.
that you mm-hmm. were, it's a lot of times we don't, it's something has to go wrong before we really start looking.
Yeah,
you know, mm-hmm. And of course he was extremely healthy.
Yes,
you know, and mm-hmm. what's the likelihood of something as bizarre as this?
Think of the miles he walked through the woods, marking trees for the Forestry
right.
Service. Amazing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's right. So he was, you know, he was outside all the time
mm-hmm.
and doing things. So he was probably the more fit of the three brothers, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so, but that's what happens, you know. Isaiah 57 starts out with whoever even contemplates why the righteous die.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, he goes on to answer that rhetorical question. It is to save them from going through more evil.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there are things like this that happen. You know, one of the things that we talked about, Stephen, and many things, but from the Bible and the promises was that every day of your life was ordained in the beginning when you were conceived, and God mm-hmm. knows when that departure date is, and you're given that.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's good that we don't know what that is.
Yeah. That's right. Yeah. That's right. I don't want to know. I don't think.
That's right.
Yeah.
So there are things like that, but we went through a lot of things, and as I was telling you outside in the conference room, was that one of the things we went through numerous times was there's going to be people along this journey. This is an assignment that mm-hmm. you have. Now, granted, some of these conversations that Steve and I would have had maybe have seemed harsh for people who weren't of the same reference point as he and I were. We know the scriptures, we know the Lord, and so we were talking from that point of view. It would seem mm-hmm. harsh to a lot of people we would talk like this, but this was his assignment. That's what we talked about. And the fact was there were going to be people that you come in contact along the route that need you
mm-hmm.
more than you need them.
Mm-hmm.
He said, yes, we're going to go with that.
Mm-hmm.
He said, because they need a kind word. He said, yeah. That's right. You don't know what the care workers and the doctors and stuff are going through. These are people who have to deal with these kind of things all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, they're people.
Every day.
Mm-hmm. Right, every day.
Mm-hmm.
So every step along the way, we were thrown into some I mean, it was a whirlwind, and it was very fast, and there was unexpected all along. So everywhere along the way, he made a point of learning everybody's name that took care of him, nurses, staff, everything, thanking them and acknowledging what they did. And this played its way out all the way through down at Marshfield, Wisconsin, through the therapy units and stuff like that. And like I said, there were some exceptions made for us, you know, which I won't. But then when we ended up transferring up here and finally got him home, which I was trying to get him home, but I didn't get the job done. But we ended up in the right place at the right time out here in Barron. And he was the same way, even though he was starting to lose his voice. He really cared about the people. He focused on the other person. And so the people that we're having now to move him into chairs, clean him up, help him eat, do things like that. He was just always thanking them for what they did. And this culminated in a lot of ways, but maybe I could put it this way. At the last day before he passed away, two of the gals that were in there to take care of him, who had only known him from right then, just when he had come in 2 weeks before. And they were, one of them comes up to me, and she's taking care of him, and she shows me her arm, and it's all goosebumps.
Oh.
And she starts crying. And the other gal does too, because they said, we don't know him, but he's so appreciative of us and so polite.
Wow.
It really, the whole march on this is a demonstration to the fact, the scriptures emphasize the way of overcoming and breaking down barriers is through love.
Mm-hmm.
It is not through hostility or anything like that. Mm-hmm. It is really caring for the other person at your expense. Mm-hmm. Love always costs you something.
Yep.
Real love is costly.
Exactly.
And so you do that, and it's purposeful, and paying attention to the other person is what we are called to do, even in the worst situations possible.
Yeah.
And this was the worst situation possible. Now, fortunately, Steve did not have much physical pain through all of this. That was a real blessing that normally comes with this. But the mental and emotional anguish of having your body shut down, your voluntary movement being closed off, and knowing it all along, that is something that...
I know one of the conversations we had, Carol and I, with you, is sometimes I put Carol on as we're talking, you're driving, and one of them... I think was you put us on speakerphone, and you said he's listening as we speak. And you told us, he loved music so much, and you said he was really restless, legs moving, that kind of thing. And you picked up the guitar and you started singing for
him. That was that was amazing, because to demonstrate, I mean, we all knew Steve loved music and that was part of him, and he has passion, blah, blah, blah. Okay. But it was like, I'd plug a 110 outlet right into him, no matter what. I mean, when I did that, it was kind of like, he could be non-responsive doing anything. And it's kind of like, because in the nursing home, I got to do that a lot, pull the guitar over and we start singing, and I'd sing.
Like, what song did you sing as an example? Can you remember?
Oh yeah. I mean, there were hymns. There were things I happened to bring up with me, and, just a closer walk with thee. And, I have a nasty habit of taking, hymns out of the book, playing it in a different lay, and then attaching them to, like Isaac Watts attached to the Gaither Brothers.
It's kind of like that's stuff. Quite a combination.
So you blend things together like that. And there were some things that I had written, and, So I was playing that over and over again, and I had a hymn book with me, and we would do.
So was your family? People probably want to know. He was so great on the keyboard. Was your family musical? How did he? I mean, you obviously played the guitar.
Well, yes. I mean, he has.
Did your dad and mom kind of pass that on to you?
Well, on dad's side, there his mother was. Now, all the family loves music.
Okay.
But as far as people who played it, his mother.
Keyboard?
Did, yeah, like piano, uh-huh. like everybody learned, you know, back
you
then.
You too?
Yeah. I can abuse it badly. It's not a pretty thing. No, okay. No, but I learned to read music.
So did you go out and sing as a family or do any kind of things when you were younger?
No, not really, because he's 6 years older than us, so he was out and gone. But
now, you know, you're 6 years older, and he has how many siblings? He was the oldest, right?
That's right. Steve was 6 years older than me, and I'm 14 months older than my brother, Kerry.
And so how many siblings?
There's just three of us.
Three of you. Okay.
Yeah. And mom was quite a piano player.
Okay. So Steve, play that piano.
And the thing is that also there was that, but on mom's side, there was an uncle that played both the squeeze box and the fiddle. He was a railroader,
wow.
And his songs were not the best ones at all. And he made up songs too. And so his aunt, which was our grandma, she didn't want her daughter sitting in there listening to much. But mom always went in there when he was around to sit, listen to him play. So, and it's kind of like, in a way, that kind of like jumped into the next generation. That's kind of how Steve was kind of like. He could do that kind of stuff, you know.
Sure.
And there is, and of course, a lot of people years ago used to be, part of your education was they'd make a stab. You'd learn to play the piano,
sure.
whether you took to it or not.
Yep. Sure.
You know, but that put the background on for picking up music. Now, it so happens that the keyboard was Steve's passion.
Mm-hmm.
And as I was telling you before, and I don't know if anybody out there got a chance to listen. If they were around at the right time, Steve would play the entire song from the Peanuts theme song.
Mm-hmm.
And that...
I see nodding heads in the conference room.
And that...
It's like Mozart.
That was his turning point in music when he mastered that, because it's so left-hand heavy.
Yeah.
And when he mastered that, as I was telling you earlier, his music ability started to go up at a higher trajectory right there, because now his left hand could function separately from his right hand once he mastered that. And that has come to really indicate. Now, he did, like I was telling you, he actually did study music.
Oh, he did?
Yeah. Okay. Yes.
Ripon College.
That's right.
That's right. Mm-hmm. Okay.
And he took a music theory there, and he actually has a workbook at home where he took how to advance your ability to play by ear.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So a lot of people think he just naturally played by ear. Well, he did, but he perfected it. You know, it was very much like, there's a proverb that says, if you become excellent at what you do, you will be put before kings.
Mm-hmm.
And in his case, it was music.
Huh.
And so he worked at becoming, it was his passion. So like all of us, on anything that you're really good at, you work at it.
Mm-hmm.
It takes work. And that's what he did. Yeah. So he had formal training in it as well. You may not have noticed that when you're around him, but that
he was,
that was
talented.
It.
No,
yeah,
doubt
he didn't have formal training. Yeah. Sarcasm, but you know there was a.
We're talking with Scott Snyder, Steve's brother, our beloved colleague who went home to be with the Lord early Sunday morning. Just got about a minute here before we got a break for a weather update. Any story that you recall from Steve as a kid, growing up with him, anything that comes to mind there in southern Indiana?
In southern Indiana. You know, we grew up in agriculture and coal mining country.
Parents owned a furniture store.
Still, it's 100 years old today, this year.
Really? Wow.
In 2020.
Yep.
Yeah, and my brother's running that.
Okay.
Now. And all the family has to pay duty by going through
there.
Yes, we all work there.
Yeah.
That's right. Which is excellent.
Yep.
Which is excellent. And you know, in a way, that furniture store, even when it was under Steve, when Steve was there, all of us, it reaches out. We're in people's homes all the time, doing all kinds of things, not just delivering furniture.
Yep. Yeah,
right. You know, and that was the store is known for that.
Mm-hmm.
People got to know Steve when he was a young kid because he delivered the Indianapolis Star starting at 4:30 in the morning.
Wow.
Oh, he's an early riser.
He is an early guy. Yep.
Yeah, he was.
For sure.
So a lot of people still know him.
And
so they will turn out for a send-off.
Yeah. Funeral is going to be Saturday.
It's going to be here at Cumberland at the Northern Lights Church. Yep. Northern Lakes Church. I always want to say Northern Lights. Northern Lakes Church. Starting doors open at 2 o'clock. It's it's a little bit informal slash formal. You know, this is I mean, although Steve's family will be around, we'll have name tags on, but really it's for everybody else. You know, because
is there any restrictions? You know, with the COVID thing that we're
you do what is comfortable for you.
Okay,
and it's going to be live streamed.
Okay,
as well.
Okay,
so you do what's comfortable for you. You come and there'll be time of just kind of sharing there with us. And then later on, 3:30, whatever, there's going to be, it's a little more formalized, thing, whatever the church has put together. There'll also be an open mic time, which ought to be a joy.
That should be fun.
That should
go on forever.
That's right. And the band there at the church that he played so much with, and they did so much together, they're going to play some things as well. So it'll be a face washer, I'm sure.
We'll try to provide a link on our website so people can go. It's for the church, right?
Yes.
Your church.
Yeah. Okay. So we do want to do that because I want to be able to tell people.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, we'll let you go back and meet with the staff here. Thanks for coming in.
One final thing?
Yep.
One final thing is I told Scott he could stay here because our listeners might hear this.
I know.
He's Steve's voice.
The same thing.
Want a job on Ed's by Air? Are you pretty good at that?
If you sold furniture, you should be able to sell.
Maybe if I wasn't 10 hours away.
Yeah. Long trip home. Yeah, you guys sound so much alike.
Wonderful. God bless you, Steve.
Our prayers will continue for you and the family. Yep.
Well, thank you.
Yeah.
Very much.
Thanks for coming.
Thank you.